welcome to Final Fights, and joining me is a man who only started playing basketball because he saw what Peter Weller did in this movie. It's Norbert Morvan.
Say, ah, Mickey Picky.
So you recommended this for the Final Fights, and I've watched this movie before. I wrote an article for Rotten Tomatoes about how much, like, is it better to show creatures on screen more or less? So I clocked about 50 movies worth of monsters. And that led me to watch Leviathan for the first time ever a few years ago. And while watching it, I really enjoyed it. I dug it. I thought that, you know, the Stan Winston effects were fun. It was a bit too big for the set, but I didn't care. But at the end, dude, when Peter Weller does a jump shot with a, like, giant flare grenade into the mouth of this monster, it's just, you know, like, say, ah, mother, you know, like, mother effer. I kind of did a head tilt. Norbert, I kind of did like one of the, like, what?
Like, what?
And he shot it perfectly into this monster who has all these teeth, like, right through its teeth, and it landed perfectly into its throat.
Exactly.
And I'm like, that's a Peter Weller move right there. I mean, that's a Stephen Beck.
Listen, you got to understand, okay? It's 1989. Norbert is, what, 11 years old? And this movie comes out, and his mind is blown. Because the jump shot form is perfect. The elbow is tucked in.
Yes.
The last thing to touch the flare is the tips of the fingers. Perfect jump shot form, you know? And then we got Peter Weller. Doc, you just signed our death warrant, you know? It's just incredible. He's 3 years off of RoboCop at this point. So you figure, okay, he's going to be doing epic things. No, his next movie is like Leviathan. It's so awesome.
Well, here's the thing, dude. This movie had a budget. Like, so George P. Cosmatos did this. He had directed Rambo and a bunch of other big films. And, like, they had Stan Winston effects. They went to Rome. They went to Rome to shoot this for 3-4 months.
Wow.
And so
wow.
What I love is Stan Winston has a stanwinstonschool.com, and he talks about the making of all of his creatures. So I went on and I read about the making of Leviathan. And a lot of other things, like, went on Congo, they're like, we didn't conquer it. Like, it wasn't great. But this one, they're like, yeah, it was great. Like, George let us direct second unit. We did all the monster stuff. He trusted us with 100%. We made the monster. And then while we were in Italy, we just hung out in Rome, and we, like, pillaged sets for, like, old movie props. And then we got our scuba diving certification because we shot a little bit in the water. And so we just scuba dived, made this monster. And it was almost less about the creation of the monster and more about, like, yeah, so, like, I had this great margarita pizza, and, like
so what do you guys seem to be out here? You seem to have a lot of money. You're flashing cash. We're making this crap movie about some kind of genetic alteration that eats people and absorbs their memories. But can I get another margarita, please? You know, that's what they're out there doing.
That's like, and they're like, it was tough work, but we still scuba dive all the time. And they show pictures out on the ocean. And it's like Stan flew in specifically to be with the monster, but he's just like hanging out in the water.
What you mentioned earlier about how they don't show the monster a lot, it's to their credit, because even though Stan Winston designed this thing, it gets kind of janky if you see it in its full light. It's a little weird. It definitely looks like a Godzilla costume. It's just rubbery, but the teeth are cool and the eyes are awesome. And it doesn't really kill people as much as it just launches tentacles at you in a real Japanese hentai film kind of way. It's weird.
It does not move much. And I noticed that the flamethrowers in this movie are very light. Very light flamethrowers in this film.
Ernie Hudson just carries one in each hand like a boss. He's just incredibly strong, and he's jacked in this movie.
Oh,
and so he's just lifting. You know, and he gets to play the classic movie black guy who gets to spout those awesome lines, but he's not really that guy. And so he just does his thing. I know that what you all went when the lady calls, I know that what you all went through, you must be going through hell. He's like, bitch, we still here.
And then, you know what was kind of funny? So at the end, I guess we'll talk about the final fight here. So the final fight is essentially the crew, let's see, Steven, Willie, and Ernie, Justin, I'm sorry, get into their suits, which was also created by Stan Winston. Another random trivia I like about this movie is they shot, like, they made everything blue, and then they didn't go in the water a lot with the suits, and then the suit's shoes shot up sand that they laid on the floor to make them look like they were walking in the ocean surface, which is crazy.
That's awesome.
But they... Like, so they go up to the surface, they escape. Peter Weller has to punch a button a bunch of times because the alien's getting into him. The alien moves very slow, by the way, but it's very destructive.
It's the slowest thing in the world.
Slowest thing possible. They get up to the surface and they're waiting for help, but sharks come, which makes me laugh. I kind of love that. And then
talk about having a bad day.
And let's not mention the alien gets its head squished when Peter Weller is exiting the place, the ship.
That's correct.
And they're up there waiting. Sharks come. Then this giant creature just floats to the surface and gets a hold of Justin, played by Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson, that's right.
And Ernie just goes down like chump change in this. And I thought Peter Weller was swimming back to help him. So I'm like, oh, he's gonna like have a rescue scene. Ernie Hudson's gonna live. You can't have Iha dying in a movie.
And then,
so when he does the jump shot into the flare into the monster's mouth, I'm like, man. And then you see Ehud floating to drowning. I'm like, what?
He drowned him. Yeah.
Why is
yes?
In 30 seconds, Ehud gets drowned, and Peter Weller jump shots this creature's mouth, and that's the final fight.
Well, you see, actually, the final fight starts a little bit before that. I gotta push back on you here.
Uh-oh.
What happened? Okay, the final fight actually begins when they realize that the creature likes to devour blood. That's how it feeds. It feeds on blood. So they make this ridiculous trap to catch it by Peter Weller. Oh, I'm pretending that I'm dying over here, and I've used my actual blood plasma all over the ground to make a trail. And then, oh no, the creature realizes, aha, I'm going to eat that woman. What's her name? Amanda Pays?
Yep.
Willie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Willie. Amanda Payne, yep.
Yeah, okay. So she ruins the plan by jogging because for some reason she is going to be an astronaut after this is over. So her exercise is interrupted and she realizes, oh my God, there's a deadly creature. And the creature comes after her very slowly. But doesn't use its tentacles this time. And then absorbing the mind power of Hector Elizondo, a.k.a. Cobb, it damages the air, which causes decompression, 5 minutes. And the best part is that decompression goes from 5 minutes to 1 minute. And then just before they jump into the suit, decompression goes to 3 minutes countdown again. It was so great.
And then I like when they finally grab Lily, she goes, ah! And they're like, shh.
Yes.
I'm like, that monster knows where you're at, guys. That thing's on its way.
The screaming in the movie is so weird because her scream, you know, most people when a monster comes, they're like, ah, or ah, she goes, oh.
Oh, hey.
And Peter Weller, his scream is always, ah. like he's recording dialogue for a video game character, you know? Okay, Peter, so what we're going to do now, we're gonna simulate the character being punched. Okay, so am I being punched in the stomach, or maybe I'm being punched in the throat? Peter, you know, just go with it. Okay, here it is. Oh! It's so bizarre, man. Oh! These are the things that stick with me when I watch this movie.
And then, I love how sweaty Hector Elizondo is in this movie before his demise. And Richard Crenna going full Richard Crenna. In it.
Totally.
You
totally.
Doomed us, that's Doc. Because right. He lets go of all the pods.
Yes. Because, you know, one of the many sci-fi tropes is that the smartest one among us realizes that humanity cannot be exposed to this whatsoever. So we should sacrifice ourselves. Yeah, totally.
Good old Richard Crenna.
Yeah.
And then you got... I love that Daniel Stern plays a guy named Sixpack.
He plays a guy named Sixpack who definitely would be caught up in the Me Too movement at this point. That guy is dirty in this movie, man.
Yeah, I really don't miss those characters, Norbert. Those guys that are just there to make those horrible comments.
And just push up on women and grind them and slap their butt just out of the blue. Yeah, yeah.
And I can't believe, like, so David Webb Peoples and Jeb Stuart, the guys responsible for writing, like, Blade Runner and Die Hard, did this script.
Exactly. Well, to their credit, they make this guy such a scumbag that when he actually does kick the bucket, you're like, awesome. Yeah. It's so good that this man is dead. And chills moment in this movie, actually. After he's dead... We know he's dead, and then Ehud comes into the room. Hey, Sixpack, you really left us hanging. And the bag starts moving. I was like, oh my God, when I was a kid, I was like, oh snap, that's great.
I mean, listen, this is a fun, unpretentious creature feature. Would you say?
Absolutely, yeah. The movie knows we're ripping off Alien, Aliens, every other slimy creature. Yeah, the thing, you know, they just wrote down, instead of a script, they had a piece of paper with a checklist. Okay, what did alien do? Okay, slimy creature, check. Hangs out in the dark, check. Chestburster, check. Evil yeah. company that doesn't care if we die, check. Okay, let's get this movie going, you know?
Yeah, they're all declared dead by the company.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's right.
Now,
that's right.
I guess we're kind of leading into the final fight, like getting like, so I guess where I'm at right now is Willie and Justin Ehud are going up, and it's just Peter Weller hanging in. But Peter Weller grabs the fakest axe that I've ever seen in my life.
That's right.
That axe
yes.
was made out of like tinfoil, not even tinfoil, like just pure plastic.
Well, you figure that they had to spend only a little bit of money on the axe because the device that he's using to fix the ship is shaped like a gun kind of attached to a screwdriver. So that's where all the budget went. That and the clearly 7,000-pound flamethrowers, you know?
Yeah. Man. Ernie Hudson's shoulders. Let's just discuss those. Like he would have picked that monster up in the water.
Jacked. Well, this is the thing, you know, the monster spends so much time either tentacle porning characters to death or ripping through their chest, and then for him it just drowns him, you know?
Yep.
It was like, come on, Ehud, you could do better than that. Especially the feats of strength that he showed in this movie. As the place is about to implode, the door is sliding over.
Oh,
and
he holds
just
it.
Strength of the bear, yo.
Yeah.
It's just strength of the bear. So he's clearly not a weakling. He's jacked. How does the Leviathan just drown him? And he sacrifices himself so that Willie can get away to go to space camp too, electric boogaloo. It's like, come on, Ernie.
Yeah, Ehud. And you know what's funny? In my notes, I have good friend written down.
He was. He was a good friend, man.
And
he was.
Next to Peter Weller, I have cheekbones.
I don't understand why they got a man who just, all I do is rocks, you know? I don't know how to do anything. But Doc, you're supposed to be there. Subsection 3 of the contract says.
I love that guy, man.
Yeah.
I love his voice.
And then, all right, I got to say the MVP of this final fight is the helicopter pilot. So they're in the water. The sharks are there. This creature comes up. And this helicopter pilot, instead of going, screw this, the helicopter pilot goes, get down there and get him.
Totally.
That's respect, totally. Right?
Listen, he keeps his head to his credit. He directs the team in a pressure-packed situation. When the genetic alteration just exposes itself, he doesn't freak out or anything. He's just like, okay, I'm flying the plane. It's not going to get here. You know, clearly I'm good. So absolutely. Yeah,
this is 89. That gentleman looked to be about 50. You know, maybe he was like a chopper pilot in, you know, Vietnam or some conflict. You know what I mean? Like, he's seen worse than this. So I looked up the name. This is like Homo aquaticus is what the name is. So he's like, I saw three of those.
it was like, this ain't worse than anything we saw flying over the rice paddies in Da Nang.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
The apocalypse now that's based on me.
Exactly. While he's sitting there looking at the monsters trying to drown Ernie Hudson and Willie's on the plane, and the only thing in his head is doom, 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 Da Nang. We're back. It's happening again. You've been out to bada, bumblebee. He's having an acid flashback. It reminds me of the time Billy was face down in the mud and the blood. All I had to do was keep my hand on a stick. Yeah, things were going dark.
I promise I'd never, ever lose anybody ever again. You know?
In the night. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, man. Is he not the MVP, right? He keeps his head. Ernie Hudson can only hold his breath for 15 seconds.
All of that weight training, the cardio, was for naught.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't do much cardio, just lifting. So he has more like show muscles. He doesn't have like wiry muscles. Like the guy from The Replacement.
Exactly, exactly. Had he been on the Mark Hoffmeyer, you too can be incredibly sexy and have cardio plan, he would still be here, you know?
Yep.
He could have used that same strength to hold the incredibly heavy door open. He could have used that to kind of punch the thing in the face, you know? Like the brother from Friday the 13th Part 8, Jason Goes to Hell, where he just wants to throw hands with Jason. Why didn't he do that to the Leviathan, you know?
Oh, yeah. Dude, also, Jason Goes to Hell, so that guy with the Letterman jacket who spears Jason through a glass window and then battles him through a playground, that dude's a badass, man.
He's a monster, man. That is an underrated movie, even though it just completely rips off The Hidden.
So we should talk. So we've covered the pod on the pod, that movie on the podcast, Movies, Home, and Flicks, but we should talk about that final fight because that spear, dude.
Yeah, definitely, man. So with this final fight, though,
hey, you got a Peter Weller, on target. Good job. Like, wow.
Years of radio training. Thank you.
All right, Mark, I'm going to get you back in this lane.
Peter, to the credit of the screenwriters, man, they definitely foreshadow that something's going to go wrong with that platform the beginning, you know, and it definitely happens. But he shows himself to be incredibly lithe and flexible, you know, mm-hmm. and that cheap axe, bang, he manages to hit the right place so he can slide perfectly into the suit. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was a slick move. And the best punches in this final fight is when he punches that button about 6 times.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, come on! I have that in my notes.
You know, he gets his creepy scream going.
And he just starts whack-a-moling that button. Like, I felt bad for that button. I'm like, if that was the creature would be dead.
There is that. And then it's another thing. All of these people are down there. How the hell does nobody just fix this thing, man? Not to say that's a plot hole or anything, but clearly that had to be the easiest thing to fix out of all the broken stuff on the tri-oceanic oil drilling platform. Like, for Christ's sake, you know, he's got his screwdriver gun thing. You know, it doesn't even make sparks. He's just jamming it into this box. Nothing happens. What the hell's going on? And eventually, you know, he just does the great old movie classic, if we can't fix it, just hit it real hard and it'll start working. He just jumps up and down and it starts to move. That was great.
And I guess the sharks were a great touch too, do you think?
You know what? That was in my notes. Hoffmeyer will love the sharks. Yep. Absolutely.
You put a shark in a movie, I'm happy. And listen, I think it's a comic, funny sensibility to throw them in there.
It was perfect because the music, the crescendo of the music is there. Everything is wonderful. We're happy. Oh, snap, sharks. What the hell? And then the classic Ernie Hudson, talk about having a bad day. Loved it.
And then a monster floats up and does not move.
Well, this is the one thing about the final fight.
I like its noise, though.
The noise is awesome. That's true.
Is that close?
That's a really good impression. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Now, take that energy. You're the Leviathan. Uh-huh. You went to Starbucks. You paid $8 for a cafe mocha latte, but there's no milk. Go. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. But you know, the great irony is, right, they spend 90 minutes of this movie telling us Homo aquaticus. It's so that a man can regenerate and grow fish parts and do everything and stay underwater. And you look at this thing, there's no way in hell that thing can swim.
None.
There's no way.
No.
There's that thing has zero buoyancy, doesn't even have a fin, for Christ's sake. It's just arms and the head of DeJesus. Kill me, please. Like, how does that thing swim at all?
Very slowly.
So, very slowly, you know, it's just flagellating. There's another big word for you.
Yeah.
Flagellating through the sea, and eventually it gets there. And to its credit, it swims what has to be, 6 miles from the floor to the surface in, 15 seconds. So, Homo aquaticus for the win.
After a head squish.
Well, here's the thing. There were two.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. It does have two.
There were two. And honestly, I feel like there were three because they ejected the six-pack and Bowman conglomeration.
Oh, yeah.
So I've always felt like there were three of these things floating around. But what does it matter?
Just send Weller around and do jump shots.
Say, ah, make it thicky. I get that from the TV edit of Do the Right Thing, where Radio Raheem is supposed to buy batteries from the Korean shop. He's like, D, Mickey Ficky, D, 20D, Mickey Ficky. So that's how you get around mother effer.
All right, so I know we're doing final fights, but one of my students, I teach film, one of my students did a final presentation on the production design of Do the Right Thing, and I've never been happier in my life because they just nailed it and like broke down all the intricacies of the set. I've never been happier as a teacher.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant, man. That's what Brooklyn looks like to this day.
Make everyone sweaty. He painted the walls like red and different colors to make it seem hotter. Like the angles that he uses in different shots. Brilliant. What would happen if he directed Leviathan, Spike Lee?
Well, if Spike Lee directed Leviathan, first of all, Ernie Hudson would have lived to the end.
Yeah.
Second of all, that basketball jump shot would have been with an actual basketball that had a bomb in it.
Oh.
And Peter Weller would have been like, do the right thing. Man,
I'm doing the
come
right
on,
thing.
Man.
Are you doing the right thing, man?
We're the 25th hour.
Exactly, because when they're freaking out, and Ernie Hudson, he's trying to fix the oxygen thing. Come on, man. This is your home, man. You know this place. Come on, man. He's trying to talk up Ernie Hudson. And he never calls anybody man at any other time in the movie except there when he's trying to encourage the black guy. Come on, man. You know this is your home, man. Come on, man. It's great. It's great.
Dude, I think this is a good one. I think we got it, man. I think we nailed this final fight.
I thank you for letting me talk about what is one of my favorite movies of all time.
And we're going to be doing a comparison against This versus the Deep coming up in a while. So pay attention for that, right?
Cannot wait.
All right, cool. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, for Thorburn Moore, man, this is movies. Wait, this is Final Fight. We'll see you next week.
Oh!
Wait, no, that wasn't good. I gotta send you guys out on a good one. No, I lost it.
Remember,
wait, I can't do it. Nope.
The coffee. Motivation is the coffee. Find it. Find it again.
I lost it.
I'm a director. Better? That was better, and yet it's still not what I was looking for.
Yeah, no, I lost it. No, I got. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. I've lost it. It's gone. I'll see y'all later.